His survival of the Bataan Death March alone would have distinguished Albert Brown. In World War II, Brown was an army captain captured by the Japanese in the Philippines. He and some 75,000 Filipino and American prisoners of war were forced to march more than 60 miles. For days, they were brutalized. They had little food or water. As many as 1 in 7 prisoners died. But Albert Brown made it, then survived years in horrifying POW camps before coming home. Albert Brown died on Sunday at age 105. He was the oldest American survivor of the Bataan Death March. Kevin Moore talked with Albert Brown for a recent biography.
He was 36 when the march began. By the time he was released from the Veterans Hospital in Denver, it was 1947, by the way, as Doc Brown, as we came to know him quite fondly, relayed to us. He said, "As I'm walking out the door, the doctor calls my name out. I turn around and he says, 'Hey, Al, go on home and enjoy the next few years of your life. You won't live to see 50.
And there he was, living to 105.
I think a medical miracle, frankly.
What did Albert Brown tell you about the conditions that he endured on the death march in Bataan?
There were very few times that he could speak of it without pausing or, you know, getting a tear in his eye. But I think by the time we had interviewed him for this book, he was ready, more ready than he had ever been to speak of his experiences. And he just detailed incredible horror and atrocities, that of which, you know, I think boggles the mind of all of us. From the march on, they were beaten, tortured. If you fell back in the pack, they would pull you out of line and simply just lop your head off with a sword. And Doc himself had been bayoneted. He had fallen back in the pack, and a Japanese soldier came up and jabbed him right in the back. And he vowed at that point never to be in the back of the pack. He determined, as he said to us, to be in the back of the pack meant death.
Albert Brown had been trained as a dentist, worked as a dentist before going off to fight in the war. What about after the war? Did he pick up his work?
Well, the time he came home, he spent 2 years repairing in the Veterans Hospital and could no longer practice dentistry because of his injuries. Yeah, he had some adjustment issues, as they all did, coming home, and eventually he moved to California in about 1950. He bought a house in the Hollywood Hills, and he broke the house into apartments, and he rented the apartments out to the movie stars of the day. He developed great relationships with likes of John Wayne, John Wayne's son. They became great handball partners at the Hollywood YMCA. You know, I think he had seen so much horror that afterward he was determined to enjoy his life. You know, he was adored by his family and his friends. In the early 50s, I do know, as he recalled, he went back to school, USC, and he earned a graduate degree in international studies. And he said to us, not long after I graduated, I received a call from the State Department, and they were offering me a job, but they wanted to send me to some country in Central America that was in revolution. And I paused, and then I said into the phone, as he relayed the story, I said, "Why the hell do I want to go back into another war?" But, you know, he always would tell these anecdotes with almost a twinkle in his eye and a little humor. And I think that spirit, in one manner, shape, or form, had to play a tremendous role in helping these men survive.
Kevin Moore, thank you for talking with us about Albert Brown today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Kevin Moore is co-author of the book Forsaken Heroes of the Pacific War, One Man's True Story. Albert Brown, the oldest American survivor of the Bataan Death March, died on Sunday at the age of 105.